all the time. All the time? God is good. Acts 3, Acts chapter 3, verse 1. We know this story so well. You've heard this preached so many times. We stand for God's ready. I'm sorry. I wanted you to sit down so everybody could see the babies. Now you got to stand back up. But that'll probably be the only squat you do all week. So we got that one done. Now, Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat at the gate of Beautiful and asked for those alms. They knew it was him. You can go ahead and be seated. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened unto him. God is calling a people. And God is calling a people in the center of a people. God is calling a group inside of the group. We're saved. If you're saved, slip your hand up. Also, I do want to say it's so good to see Skylar's family from North Carolina with us. Always, that's really good to have you guys. Amen. Amen. Good to have you. Amen. We don't expect you to make the drive every week, but we're glad to have you here today. Amen. God's calling a people out of a people. And he's calling a people that know who they are. He's calling a people to do a work that he needs done. He's allowed us to be part of his kingdom. God is into kingdom expansion. And he's called us to be part of that. God could very simply force everybody under the sun to give their life to him and serve him. But we know that that's not how God works this. God has allowed us to be part of the expansion. And that is some awesome grace that God has bestowed upon us. But with that awesome grace comes an amazing responsibility. Because we do have a job to do. This morning we talked about salvation. We talked about salvation being free. We talked about salvation being by faith, through grace, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. You can do nothing to earn your salvation. That lesson is over. We are on to sanctification. Because now that you are saved, there are some things that are expected of you. There are some things that we need to be doing in the kingdom because we are saved. You slipped your hand up. You said you're saved. Now there's something that we need to do. First of all, we need to find the will of God for our life. We understand the general will of God, but we must understand this. God has a very specific will for your life. He's got a plan, and he's got something for you to do. Let me say it like this with good preacher voice. God never called you to be a bench warmer. God never called you to sit on a church pew. As a matter of fact, if you're here today to get a blessing, you're at the right place. But the purpose of that blessing is to take that blessing with you on the outside of the church. You're here today in the boardroom. We are here today to get fed and to get energized and to get motivated. That's what we're here for. That's the purpose of the church, is to motivate and send out. But your assignment is not in this room this morning. Your assignment is on the outside of these walls. I believe that if you have revival and the revival is contained on the inside of the church walls, it's not real revival. But real revival finds a way outside of the church door and affects the lives of the people around us. So here you sat in this boardroom, and I was always taught to come to church to not get a blessing, but to be a blessing. But I've realized something. I got to come into this place to get blessed so that I can take that blessing out tomorrow to the job site and make sure that I've got the same anointing that I feel in here today, and I carry it with me, because there is a lost and a dying world that is looking for you to step up and manifest as the children of God. They were on their way to the temple. They were on their way to the temple. The problem was, there was a man. Come on, Brandon, you're in a good spot. Come on. People in our church get nervous about sitting up front because they become illustrations. And one guy told me that, I got to tell y'all this just in case you've never heard this. But one guy told me, he said, when you use us for illustrations, make them quick, because we have a hard time sucking our stomachs in that long. So they thank you, leave that open. They put him at the gate. Lay down, you don't get to stand, you're the lame man. Are you listening to the story? They would bring, you can actually sit up if you want. It may be a little bit. Now, come on, let me help you up just a little bit. Because how are you going to know if you got any money on me and ask if you're laying down? It's a perfect lame man. It's a perfect church member. They put him at the gate. Every day they put him at the gate. They brought him to the gate every day. Every day he would ask for alms. Inside the temple. Understand, this was a Jewish temple. Inside the temple, there's a lot of religion going on. But he never made it inside the temple, because his infirmity left him on the outside of the temple. I hope you're listening to what I'm saying. He never got to the inside, because his disability kept him on the outside. Now, there was two men that happened to come to the temple that day. Peter and John were on their way to the temple. Give me a Peter and give me a John. Yeah. You love being the good guy? You're John. That's why John ran faster than Peter. He was more aerodynamic. Peter and John are on their way to the temple. Why? It's the hour of prayer. When you pray for needs. You go to pray because you need to intercede, because you have needs. And you do that for the right reason. You got to talk to God, because we know that God is able to meet our needs. As a matter of fact, we got some needs that only God can meet. There's some things the lawyer can do and some things the banker can do, but there's some things that only Jesus can do. And sometimes you don't need to call the doctor, you need to call Jesus. Because we understand that there's some good physicians, but there's only one great physician, and we know that he's able, so we go to pray. It was the hour of prayer, and they were on their way to the temple. We put so much emphasis on church and being a pastor, rightfully so. By the way, we're trying our best to build a building. Pray that that goes quicker. Pray that it just speeds up and God does a quick work with slow people, because he's able. We put so much emphasis on what goes on the inside of the temple, but God's got a way of interrupting us sometimes, because before they ever got to the church, some ministry happened on the outside of the church. Before they ever made it through the doors of the temple, they ran into somebody who had a need. Now, we live in a world full of lame people, and I don't mean that, I mean that seriously. We live in a world of people who are broken. Now, this man had a real need, and he had an imaginary need. His imaginary need was money. He thought he needed money, So he sat at the gate and he would ask for alms. The reason he asked for alms is because his disability kept him away from the workforce. So they dropped him off every day and he became a beggar. Let me tell you what happens when you're broken. When you're broken, if you're not careful, you'll start begging. But today he had an appointment with destiny. Two men, Peter and John, are on their way to the temple and they bump into this man. And when they bump into him that day, the ministry took place on the outside the doors of the church. The ministry took place on the outside of the four walls. While they're in there doing all their religion and debating their theology and doing everything that they do, and they're working their way down through the law, and these guys took a risk on there anyway, being believers, but they went to the temple, and on their way, ministry happened on the outside. He was separated from their religious dogma. He was separated from their theology, but what he wasn't separated from a God that called men to do work on the outside of the temple. Man, I hope you see this today. You know who's nervous about this sermon? The devil. Because if we leave these walls and we say, I'm taking it with me, then the devil gets nervous. Let me say it like this. The devil don't care if you sit in church or get in church. The devil cares when church gets in you. That's when the devil gets nervous. Not when you get in church, but when the church gets in you and you walk out and you say, I don't go to church. I am the church. I don't go just to a building. I am the church. And he said, upon this rock, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Can I insert this into your thinking? There ain't no devil in hell can stop you when you realize who you are. He's calling in people that know who they are. I love what Brother Eddie said about this years ago. He said, I could tell these two preachers. I could tell they were two preachers because they said, silver and gold have we none. What was it the congregation says? Lord, you keep the preacher humble, we'll keep him poor, and that'll keep him good. They said, silver and gold have I none. That's a far cry from the preaching that we hear today. That's a far cry from the sermon we hear today. Flip your TV on and it doesn't take long. You will hear something about your bank account, something about your finances, and something about that being the approval of God on your life and your blessing. Can I tell you, I serve a God that's got more to give than money. I serve a God that's got more to bless than your finances. I serve a God that's able to go by your checkbook and go down through your family and begin to do things in your family that this world and money cannot do. I serve a Jesus that died for the sins of the world and he's ready to save somebody. Who are you in this story? We've all been this guy. We've all been this guy. We've all been bound. We've all been restricted by sin. But what I challenge you to do is to be these guys. Because they possess something that the others that walked into the temple did not possess. Hear me. Hear me. Not everybody that sits in a pew is packing. Some people are professing and some people are possessing. And there's a vast difference. They come to the lame man on the outside of the church. And when they get there, he looks on them expecting to receive something. Hold on a minute. Look at the person beside you and say, I'm going to receive something. Come on, do it, do it. Look at him and say, I'm going to receive something. You know why you need to warn them? You know why you need to warn them? Because some people ain't okay with you when you start receiving something. Some people are just your friend because you're negative and you're toxic and you're down. And you know who negative, toxic people like to hang out with? Negative, toxic people. Look down your bench. Somebody close to you is a negative, toxic person. Look at them. If they're looking straight ahead, that's them. That's who negative, toxic people like to hang out with, is negative, toxic people. So you need to warn them and say, I'm about to receive something. Because you got to be careful when people receive something from God. They might shout all over your purse. You better grab it. Because, man, I'm telling you, when God starts moving in somebody's life, things start happening. This man had a destiny date with Jesus. And I want to let you know, they were used to him laying there. And they got so accustomed to it. But I'm telling you, when you receive something from God, you don't sit where you were sitting before. On the day of Pentecost, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Key word is were sitting, because when you receive something from God, you can't sit anymore. God's got an army that's rising up, and they're going to break every chain. Amen. I'm going to receive something. I'm going to receive something. We have an obligation to let this world know that they can get something from Jesus. If you're broke, your money's coming. If you're single, your honey's coming. That's pretty good, ain't it? If you're sad, your funny's coming. If it's cloudy, the sunny's coming. What do we need to let them know? Man, you've been broke too long. You've been broke too long. You've got an imaginary need. You know, the problem is we know not what to pray for as we ought. This man didn't even know what his real need was. You know, the problem is we don't either. You ever went to pray to God and you really didn't know how to advise him on your situation? Well, God, what I need right here is... what I need, God, is not my will, Lord, but thine be done. You know why? Because God knows what's best for you. He sent these guys not to give what this guy was asking for. Oh, let me say that again. These were agents of the king, and they showed up to give him not what he was asking for. In the words of the great philosopher Garth Brooks, some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. They are. They're unanswered prayers. Because this man is now, they could have gave him exactly what he was wanting, exactly what he needed, and walked on. But these men understood what they had. I want you to leave here today with this in your heart. I know who I am, and I know what I have. Oh. I just met you, but you're fun to preach to, so I'm just going to let you have it. On that construction site, when you get out of the truck, that whole atmosphere has to change, because you know what you have on the inside. When you walk out to that golf course and those guys are looking for their cart, they don't know who's bringing it to them. You're a child of the king, and there's got to be some interaction there where you let this world know, if you're broke, I got something that can fix you. If you're hurting, I got something that can help you. If you're depressed, I got something that can give you joy. If you're lost, I got something that can save you. If you're down, I got something that can pick you up. And his name's Jesus. It's okay to expect to receive something from God. Can I say that again? You need to receive something from God. Mike, we can't make it in this world without him. You know why I come to church? To get charged up. I just want to let you know, Sunday, still in America, is the first day of the week. You're at the right place the first day of the week. Amen. Tomorrow's the second day of the week. And you're dreading it. Don't lie to me. Don't you lie to me. I got to go to work tomorrow. How many people say got to go? Raise your hand. Got to go. Got to go. How many of y'all was like, I get to go to work tomorrow? Raise your hand. Lying. You are lying. You know why? Because we look at it different. I'm getting ready to go on my mission field in the morning. I said, it's why you should pray before you ever leave the house. I'm getting ready to go on a mission. I'm getting ready to go out there and terrorize the devil. When my alarm clock goes off in the morning, the devil's going to be nervous. He's up again. Here I come. I got to find me some city people to witness to. I done figured out all them country boys that I've been texting in the morning, they don't get signal till they come out of the hollers on Monday. I'm going to have to find me some disciples with some signal. I got two of them. I text them on Sunday, and Monday morning I get a text. Hey, man, I didn't get this. What's happening next Sunday too? I mean, let's do this on Monday. I can find me some city people with some signal. You better find somebody to reach out to them. Well, preacher, what are we going to do when we get here? Where are we going to put them? We'll find a spot. We'll do something with them. Because we need to know how great our Jesus really is. Are y'all tired of standing? Join my club. Dave, don't ever let me sit down in church. They came up. And he looked on them expecting to receive something. One of the most tragic verses in the Bible is when the neighbor comes to the man at midnight and he knocks on the door and he's looking for bread. And the man says, I have nothing to set before him. I don't want you to leave here like that. I want you to leave here with something to give. Because as soon as you cross this threshold, you are entering into your mission field. The other night at minister's meeting, we were talking about testimony service. How often should we do testimony service? Should we have appointed testimony? Should we have open mic? I'm nervous about open mic night. Somebody told me one time the worst kind of death there is to be preached to death. It's like, I don't know, testifying to death is tough too. Some people give up and give an organ recital and they should be glorifying Jesus. Y'all pray for me. My liver quivers and my bladder splatters and I got the measles and the mumps and a gash of rash and purple bumps and I don't know, man. I should just freestyle today, shouldn't I? It's like, what in the world are you talking about? Give Jesus some glory and sit down. Yeah, go ahead. You can clap for that. That's real. Maybe some of y'all are too old, but y'all remember when you had that feeling like you wasn't going to get your homework done, and you had that anxious feeling. Sometimes during testimony service, I'm like, here's what I've decided. We're going to have testimony service every single day. Not in here. Out there. Testimony service is open every day. We don't have to hear it in the church, but they need to hear it at Walmart. We don't have to hear it in the church, but they got to hear it out there. Your testimony service is open. Go out there and let the world know, hey, silver and gold have I none, but I do got something to give you. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. When you give them your testimony, take the name of Jesus. When you testify your testimony, give them the name of Jesus. Let them know there's a Savior that's still saving and He still reigns, and I got a testimony. Testimony services open in the morning. Get busy. Should I say it? Okay. If y'all get mad, y'all get mad at her. The problem is we're living in a generation of lazy Christians. We're living in a generation of lazy Christians. We want the benefits of Pentecost, but we don't want to pray like they did at Pentecost. We want the results of what happened after the upper room, but we don't want to pray in the upper room. Be Peter prayed for 10 days, preached for 10 minutes. 3,000 people got saved. We want to pray for 10 minutes and preach on that prayer for 10 months, and there's no power in it. Preach, preacher. We need some people that know who they are and are plugged up to the source and will take it across the threshold. Stand up, Jason. Let me tell you a little bit about this guy. Give honor where honor's due. He works a lot. He gets called in all different hours, all the time. He's got a family. But yet, twice a month, he goes over there with Dave to the retirement home and preaches to those elderly people. If you don't think it matters, then you didn't hear Christy's testimony. Hey, when you go out, by the way, awesome job. That was so good. That was so good. Listen, testimony service is always open for you. Don't listen to anything I said a while ago. Stand up, lazy. I'm still talking about you. When you go out there, are you tired sometimes? When you go out there, are you hungry sometimes? Do you take away from time from Lydia and your kids? Is it tough? Why you do it? Because they need to hear about Jesus. Now, you might not appreciate it. You might even know he did it. You don't even know. You don't have any idea. But I tell you who does appreciate it. Somebody's got their family member over there in that facility. And they're praying, God, send somebody out there. And you know what we do? We say, oh, send them, Lord. Send them, send them, send them. Everybody wants to come and preach. Nobody wants to go and preach. Let me say it again. Everybody wants to come and preach. Not everybody wants to go and preach. You notice Jesus always sent them out to preach. He never did say, come and preach. He said, go and preach. Thank you, Jason, for your sacrifice. Are you uncomfortable? Oh, you promise? Really, if you're hurting, it's okay. We can change stuff. Okay, he's good. You see this guy right here? Give me a minute. Give honor where honor is due. AJ, I can call him anytime. Anytime. Hey, can you preach for me? I got you. I got you. I got you. He drives to Kanawha County. That's what the GPS calls it anyway. He drives down there and works a job and drives back home. That's 2 hours every day on his day. I call him anytime, anytime. Man, can you preach Wednesday? I'll be ready. Can you preach Sunday? I'll be ready. Not only that, he does youth group, his Bible study, in-home Bible study at his house for people. And he spends a lot of time in that back room with the teens of this church. Thank you, Sam. Thank you. Stand up, Eddie. Tucker. See how long it took him to get up? It's because he's old.
Amen.
I didn't know if he heard me the first time. I think he did. He's trying to get up, and it took him that long. How old are you, Eddie? 79 years old. It ought to be a sin to have a beard that black when you're 79 years old. I don't know what he's eating, but I need to eat more of it. He's nice hair, too. 79 years old. You know what he's doing yesterday? Driving 4.5 hours to comfort a family with the gospel that lost their son. Turn around. And drove back. I drove him back, but he rode back. Why did he do that? I'm going to tell you why. At 79 years old, he's got a lot of things and a lot of excuses that he could throw out. He's got a lot of things that he could say. But you know what he did? He did it because he knew the gospel has power to comfort, and he did that. Thank you, Brother Eddie. Thank you. Listen, I can go on and on and on and on and on. Man, God's got a way of busting up your plans, don't he? Can I tell this testimony real quick? Are y'all bored yet? Can y'all withstand the heat for just a few more minutes? I'll hurry. These two guys right here are the Bonfire Clan. I don't know what to call them. They love bonfires. Ever since I've known them, we're having a bonfire. You want to come? Mm-mm, no. I mean, who wants to sit around a fire and get smoke in your eyes? But they love it. It's crazy. There was a lady came to church here one day, and I know the Bible says tell a dream is a dream, and I'm not really, you know, y'all know me. I'm not real mystical. But she came to me, and she looked at me and said, I had a dream, and I feel like I need to tell you about it. So what was your dream? She said, in the dream, there was two brothers that went to church here. She just started coming here. I said, okay, I know who they are. I didn't need to call anybody and say, interpret this for me. And she said, they were going to a bonfire. Nailed it. Nailed it. She said, but they was going to get into some mischief at the bonfire, and you looked at them and said, y'all ought not to go. She said, you looked at one of them and said, don't go north and don't go east. And they looked at each other and said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go into the church, and we're going to pray at the altar instead. She said, they came in and prayed at the altar. She said, people started coming in off the highway and into this building and giving their life to Jesus. Cool dream. Cool story. We're here working on this room, trying to get it together to have church. I tell them the dream. I look over here at this one. He's as white gets. Y'all, he got a pretty tan right now. It didn't look like that at all. I looked at Brother Pasty. And I said, what is wrong with you? He said, do you have any idea what I was about to do? I said, no. He said, I was getting ready to leave and study abroad, and I was either going to go to Canada, or I was going to go to China. He said, Canada is north and China is east, and I ain't going nowhere. And I watched him last week at a memorial service sing a song and bring the anointing of God into a room that really needed the anointing of God. Am I right, Eric? Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Aaron. Why are you telling us this? Why? I'm not telling you this to brag on them. I'm not telling you this to swell up their white faces. I'm telling you this to tell you this. Sometimes people sit back and do nothing. And they bring requests to the church. We need more outreach. We need more ministry. Well, get busy. What are you waiting on? In this story, you're Peter and John. You got what it takes. Don't wait on anybody else. Look at them and say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I got something to give you. Said, rise up and walk. How'd you get up? We're not to that part of the story. Rewind, don't y'all pay attention to my cast over here. He said, silver and gold have I none. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. But he didn't stop there. Do you hear me? We're telling people to get out of sin. We're telling people to get out of their situation. We're telling people what they need to do. But that's not all Peter and John did. The Bible says he took him. He took him by the hand. He pulled, listen to what I'm saying. He pulled him up. It wasn't just his words, but he brought some action with it. We can talk to the lost and we can tell them what they need, or we can reach out with some power and pull them up. All right, hurry. I got one more verse. I'm going to let you go because it really is hot in here. Ready? Where am I at? Jude 21. Jude 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And of some have... Read it loud. Next three verses. Next three words. Read it loud. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. One more time. One more other time. Another other time. It's time for the church to start making a difference. Quit quit waiting on the person beside you and say, here I am, Lord, send me. The harvest is ripe. I'm a laborer. I'm ready to go to work and bring somebody into the kingdom. Next verse. And we're done. And others save with fear. Excuse me, doing what? Doing what with them? Pulling them out of the fire. Pulling them out of the fire. Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Do we understand the power that we have in our arms when we reach out? There are people, I know it's going to get tough. I know it's going to be hot. But that person who is in the flame will be glad when you show up with some authority and some power. And you reach out and you just don't tell them to get up. But you pull them up with the power of Jesus. Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? One more. Stand up back there, Shane. Stand up. After we're all gone, after we all leave, him and his wife and his little girl will still be here. Why? Because he's going to be putting the podcast on there. For what? So that somebody can hear me and hear these ministers. Why does he do it? Hoping that somewhere, somebody that may never darken these doors will hear something that will bless them and change their life forever. It was requested after Sunday school this morning, Shane, that you put that Sunday school lessons on recording as well so that it can help Brother John Cotton sleep. That's what he told me. He said, could you record that so I can listen to him go to sleep? I asked security to take him out, but we don't have any security yet. So he's still back there. Why do you do what you do? Because one day we're going to stand before Jesus. And when we look at him, I want no regrets. I want no regrets. No regrets. I'm glad you're here because I don't want you to have any regrets either. Come on, Aaron. I talked to the heating and air guy the other day and told him what size building we're looking at. And I said, I need a quote on a heating and cooling unit. He said, man, you're going to need 5 units. I said, please make it 6. He said, man, they're going to be about $10,000 a piece. I said, it's God's bill. God's bill. I ain't paying it. I'm a coal miner. I can't afford it. But God's loaded. Man, I'm ready. Are you ready? What are you going to do tomorrow? You're going to get up and you're going to pray. You're going to say, God, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. God, I'm going to battle. Crossing the threshold. I'm not at the temple, but I'm in my mission field. And that guy at work is going to say something in a couple weeks about me and say, man, something's changed in him. Something's changed in her. I don't know what happened. And I'll know they heeded the word of God and they let it change them. I hate to tell you this, but when you invite God into your life, he wrecks everything. He wants your calendar. He wants your planner. He wants your Sundays and your Mondays and your Tuesdays. And just when you think you was going to China, God's going to have you somewhere on Blue Jay 6 Road. Singing about Jesus. Who but God? Who but God? If you're here today and you're lost, you need to yield. If you're here right now and you're lost or you're backslid, the altar's open. Listen, everybody in this room is cheering for you to come to the altar. If you step out of your pew and come and pray, I promise you will not pray alone. We'll come alongside you, because you know what? We were all there one time. The altar is not a place of shame. It's a place of power. It's a place of transition. It's a place of revival, a place of renewal. You say, well, I can pray right here. You can. You can. I agree, you can. Or you can step out and tell hell, you ain't hold me no more. I'm going to give you a good indicator if God's dealing with you. Right now, your heart's beating faster. There's a battle going on in your mind right now. Two voices. One saying, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. You can't live good enough. You can't do good enough. You've tried this before. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. And there's another voice saying, come. Come. You say, I've done it before. I've done it before. Hey, raise your hand if God ever gave you another chance. Raise your hand. Look around. Look around. What about three chances? Keep your hand up. Three chances. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. How many? How many chances have you had? If that's you and you raise your hand, just keep it up. Now turn it into worship. Say, that's me, Lord. I'm just going to keep my hand up and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you need to pray at the altar, come now. Come now. Come now. Today is the day of salvation.